This is KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep. The Juneau Assembly is moving forward with a plan to temporarily move its regular meetings from City Hall to a new location due to persistent sound quality issues. Earlier this week, at a Committee of the Whole meeting, members asked City Administration to search for alternative locations where the sound quality is better. City Manager Katie Kester originally suggested the idea.
The sound quality in this room is abysmal, and I do think that it's getting to the point where we're disenfranchising our public.
Mayor Beth Walden also asked the city to move forward with a plan to replace the current audio infrastructure in City Hall, despite an estimated $60,000 price tag.
I've been asking for over a year to do something about our sound system, so I am in full favor of spending money to fix the sound system. And in the meantime, if we need to meet somewhere else, that is fine with me.
Members also consider changing assembly meeting times after some recent meetings have run late into the night because of large agendas. That can mean regular meetings, committee meetings, and executive sessions would start earlier in the evening or during the lunch hour. City leaders are currently negotiating the purchase of 2 floors of the Michael J. Burns building. If approved, it would become the new city hall and city employees would work there. Voters rejected the city's request to fund the construction of a new city hall in 2022 and 2023. The city has sought to replace city hall due to the extensive maintenance needs and lack of space at the current location. On Monday, Kester suggested Centennial Hall as a potential temporary location to hold regular assembly meetings. The building was recently renovated and is just a short walk from City Hall. She says it costs about $1,000 per meeting to rent the space and has booked it for the assembly's next regular meeting on July 28th. Some assembly members were hesitant about the rental price tag at Centennial Hall and suggested other locations that would be cheaper. Kester says the potential move to the Michael J. Burns building is still at least a year out if approved. The candidate filing period for Juneau's local election opens tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Half a dozen seats will be open for the October 7th municipal election, 3 on the Juneau Assembly and 3 on the Juneau School District Board of Education. There is no mayoral race this election. The assembly seats currently filled by members Ella Atkinson, Greg Smith, and Wade Bryson will be up for the taking. All three told KTOL that they plan to run for another term. Both Smith and Bryson are closing in on the end of their second full 3-year terms. Atkinson is finishing her first partial term after she was elected in 2023 to serve the remaining 2 years of a member who resigned. School board seats filled by Dee Dee Sorensen and Emil Mackey will be open this election. Both confirmed their plans with KTOO to run for re-election. There's also an opportunity to serve a partial term following former school board member Will Muldoon's abrupt resignation this spring. Muldoon was re-elected to serve a second 3-year term last fall. He did not give a reason for his departure. His position is temporarily filled by former board member Steve Whitney. 2 citizen initiatives will also be on the ballot this fall. Voters will be asked whether to place a limit on the city's property tax rate and remove local sales tax on food and utilities. The Juneau Assembly may ask voters whether to take on bond debt to fund repairs to schools and the city's water and sewer systems, and whether to implement a new seasonal sales tax system next year. Members will vote on whether to put those questions on the ballot later this month. The deadline to file for a seat in this election is Monday, July 28th at 4:30 p.m. Ballots will be mailed to registered voters beginning on September 19th. And Juneau's annual glacial outburst flood is expected to hit Mendenhall Valley in early August. This flood will test a temporary levee the city installed this spring for the first time. Although city officials say they expect it will protect residents, they want everyone in the flood zone to evacuate anyway. KTOO's Alex Solomon has more.
Suicide Basin is almost full, and the National Weather Service predicts it could unleash a torrent down Mendenhall River on August 8. As the flood approaches, the community is preparing for the worst-case scenario. The levee that was installed to protect most neighborhoods in the valley is made up of HESCO barriers, large metal baskets lined with fabric and filled with sand, which are stacked in backyards along the river. Ryan O'Shaughnessy is Juneau's emergency manager. He says an analysis the city commissioned shows the levee should hold back floodwaters properly. But he says people shouldn't bet their lives on that.
We're still recommending that people evacuate. You just cannot be too careful with life and the potential for death or injury.
If the levee fails, O'Shaughnessy says it would trigger a flash flood and people wouldn't have much time to escape.
And it will be difficult to extract anyone in a, like a search and rescue operation with water moving that swiftly.
So he says Valley residents should pack go bags in advance and arrange to stay with friends or family. The city and U.S. Geological Survey plan to watch how the levee performs during the flood using drones and other cameras. O'Shaughnessy says the city will bolster the levee with large sandbags called super sacks if they see extreme bank erosion.
So where there are those bends in the river where we've historically seen that kind of activity are the places that we're prepared to respond to it.
Those bends include the corner of Riverside Drive and Kilowich Drive, along Meander Way, and near Diamond Park. The city plans to issue an evacuation warning as soon as the remote camera in Suicide Basin shows the water draining out. That's the same time the National Weather Service will issue a flood warning. The evacuation notice will buzz on cell phones located in the Juneau area through a federal alert system. But to ensure you receive a warning, even if you're not in the area at the time, O'Shaughnessy says to sign up for the city's alert system. From the moment the evacuation warning is issued, Valley residents will have an estimated 36 hours to get out of the flood zone before floodwaters flow down the river. City officials will publish a map of the flood zone when the National Weather Service issues a forecasted flood height. Forecast updates are likely to come a day later. Floyd Dryden Middle School will serve as an emergency shelter during the flood. Its gymnasium can hold around 50 cots. Folks with RVs will be able to park in the lot, and there will also be an area where people can pitch tents outside. Britt Tonneson is the Community Disaster Program Manager for the Red Cross of Alaska in Southeast. She says the shelter will be available for as long as Valley residents need it.
If it happens during the day and the flood clears out, maybe it's just an evacuation point. If it happens in the night, it could be a sheltering situation.
People who stay in the shelter can expect a cot, food, and access to information and services. Tonneson says that the Red Cross is prepared to assist elders and those with disabilities and medical needs.
So if people are separated from medication, durable medical equipment, we have disaster health services volunteers, and they try to more immediately reconnect those people with those services.
Ahead of the flood, Tonneson is still accepting volunteers and says those interested can sign up on the Red Cross website. On Facebook, Valley residents affected by the floods say they need help filling sandbags and setting them up on their property. The city, Tlingit Haida, and volunteers with United Way will be handing out free sandbags at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse on July 19 and July 26 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And now for this week's Curious Juneau episode, KTOL looks into a local Easter egg that has fallen silent. Nestled in the Flats neighborhood near Juneau's Federal Building is the city's oldest and longest-running hydropower plant. For many, the large blue building is just a noisy part of the neighborhood. But for lifelong Juneau residents like Kevin Gullifson, the building has a fun little Easter egg.
When I pressed this years ago, and this was about 10 years ago, it would make this really satisfying, like, awooga sound, you know, like a Tex Avery cartoon.
Gullifson is talking about a small black button next to the power plant's door on Capitol Avenue. A sign on the door states that hearing protection is required inside, and there's a hum of machinery in the air. Gullifson was one of many people that pressed the button as they walked by, especially in his 20s.
I lived on the corner over here coming out of college, and it was like our favorite thing to do coming to and from the bars with my three roommates was to press this button right here, and then sometimes we'd run like we, you know, were little kids playing a prank or something like that.
But now, the button's silent. For Curious Juneau, Gullifson wanted to know what the button is for and what happened to it. The answer to what this so-called Awooga button is a simple one.
A favorite of the Juneau public to push on the way by. I remember it when I was a kid as well. But yeah, it's a doorbell. It is just a loud industrial doorbell.
That's Brian Farrell, the chief power generation operator for AELMP, which owns and operates the power plant. He's speaking from the relatively quiet AELMP office in Lemon Creek. But over at the power plant, things get loud. Really loud.
These are just the hydro units running. These are the diesels over here. If these were running, it'd be considerably louder.
Back in the quieter office, he said that loud noise required a really loud doorbell.
It used to be that there was someone within that building actually operating those units. And within that building, there's another control room. So they'd be inside that control room, and that had to be loud enough to alert them in that control room.
But Farrell says they disconnected the doorbell about 5 years ago, partly because of the noise.
People do like to push that on the way by, and it is a loud sound. So if you're in there working on something and someone pushes that doorbell on their way by, it can be a little bit jarring. And then also we just disconnected it because we don't want people to be distracted when they're in there working by those loud noises.
He says there's also no need for a doorbell anymore because of cell phones.
You would just call someone knowing that there's an operator in there to get their attention, or we would call our main operations center and they could radio into that building. But there is no current doorbell.
The building's doorbell is still there now, but it's just effectively a button. So what did it sound like? Golofsson gave his best impression.
It was like a mix between like a Tex Avery thing, Wile E. Coyote going, "Awooga!" And then a tsunami siren, because if you would hold this down, it would keep going.
Farrell declined to give his impression. Instead, he reconnected the doorbell one more time for KTOO to capture the sound that delighted and annoyed Juneau residents for years. But for now, that small black doorbell will go back to being a defunct relic of the past. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep. And do you live in the Mendenhall Valley and have questions about the next glacial outburst flood? The KTOL Newsroom invites you to a community barbecue and public safety conversation today from 6 to 8 p.m. at Riverside Rotary Park. Come grab some food and speak with KTOL journalists and local officials. We want to hear your questions and concerns ahead of the next outburst. That's today from 6 to 8 p.m. at Riverside Rotary Park. Come hungry. This is KTOL.